Blog Talk Radio.
Have a little heart and soul. Let the angels take control. Let them help along the way. Have a little heart. Have a little heart and soul. Have a little heart and soul. Let the angels take control. It's a brand new day. But you gotta have a little heart. Have a little heart and soul. In the moment, in the silence, if you listen, you will hear all the answers to your questions. They suddenly appear. Have a little heart and soul. Let the angels take control. Let them help along the way. You gotta have a little heart. Have a little heart and soul. Have a little heart. Have a little heart and soul. Have a little heart and soul.
And welcome to Heart and Soul. We have another amazing show planned. A very amazing guest. I think she's just awesome. She is a dream. I call her a dream worker. I think that's a good name because she's a body worker and she does lots of other things, but she's an interpreter. Is that what you would say you are, Davis, an interpreter of dreams? Would that be appropriate? Yeah, I like that. I think, you know, we're not experts. We're a facilitator. I like that. Yeah. And she studied it, and she's really knows different angles of how to look at it for yourself. So that's what we were talking about, is that dreams are very, you know, an individual experience, and how you feel about them is usually what the message is trying to lead you to, right? And we were just saying, like, everything is about your experience and how it is that you feel about whatever it is that's coming your way for information and for guidance, right? I think this is all about guidance and to live a more fulfilled and more peaceful existence. And sometimes our dreams will come to us because we're not dealing on our day-to-day, in our day-to-day life with situations. And sometimes they are being dealt with and can be dealt with, and Davis is going to talk about that and how you can deal with your dreams on purpose instead of just having them happen to you. So let's talk about that, because that's so fascinating to me, Davis, that you could have an intention set before you go to sleep, and then you could have a different experience of dreaming. So let's talk about how people could do that.
Well, you know, the easiest way is what you just said, and that is to set an intention before you dream of what you want to experience during your dream state. Another thing would be if you were seeking particular guidance, you might want to ask a question in advance of a dream or advance of sleeping. Write it down on a piece of paper and focus on it as you're falling asleep. That would be another way. You know, all around the world, different cultures utilize the dream state in similar ways. They might, if there was a group of people moving to a new location, a new village location, they might go to the new location and all the villagers would sleep there, and then they would confer with each other the next day about what their dreams were and what their dreams might be saying about the new location. So this is not a new idea. This is a wonderful way of getting guidance, is to work with the dream state.
And so I kind of think that we have lost touch with how how old this is. I think that we think it's a new thing that we start looking at dreams and getting answers, but it's been, like you said, something a very ancient way of unifying a group or coming up with a decision. So that's really interesting to me because it seems like that's the last place that people really go to in today's therapies is into the dream work. On a traditional therapist, let's say, you know, they kind of stay on this level, on this dimension. They don't really go, I find, into the dream work. And I think that the dream work is more important and uncovers so much more than just the talking therapies that are out there. So right. It's really interesting you said that because I totally see this as a new thing happening, but it doesn't feel new to me at all. It feels like it's been there all along in everyone's consciousness about this other place that we all venture into.
Right.
But really never explore. You know, can you imagine we're there 8 to 10 hours a day of our existence? Yeah.
And a quarter
I mean,
of
sometimes,
that time is
you know,
spent
yeah,
in
a quarter of our life is spent in this other place. And yet we really don't explore it as a viable place that really has information for us or is allowing us to really uncover some things that we need to see. So I love this. So let's say I'm going to go to sleep, and so I want to have my intentions set. So what kind of intentions could you have, let's say,
well, there's
for
all kinds. You could have an intention to receive guidance. That's the most frequent one. People want to know something. They have a question. They're trying to make a decision. Should I quit this job? Should I take that new offer? Should we buy the new house? Should I marry that person? Et cetera. And,
now, would you think that their answer lies in this yes or no thing that they might be looking for, or could it come through as symbols? Like, what would the dream state actually, in a way, how would it answer their question?
Sometimes it can be so simple as the dream state will give you a yes or a no. Or sometimes I wake up with a song in my head, and I look at the lyrics of the words, and that's where the answer lies. Or even sometimes I'll wake up with a sentence or a word. So it can be that direct and specific.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times it will come in the form of a dream that then you get to look at the dream, interpret the symbols in the dream, or even the dream might just give you a feeling, and that feeling might lead you to your answer. So I think part of the reason people don't turn to dreams as readily as they might to a talk therapist or something like you were referring to earlier is I think people need to empower themselves about it, first of all, which means it's going to take a little bit of time of learning how to interact with the dream state, learning how to look at symbols, maybe which symbology book you might want to work with, or if a symbology book doesn't feel good, how to interpret the symbols yourself, et cetera. And I don't think there are a lot of people doing this type of work out there in terms of guiding people like we are doing right now, like the talk that we're having right now. I don't think there are a lot of people out there. They can't just open up the yellow pages and find a dream worker in the yellow pages.
You're right.
So they do have to learn how to rely on themselves some, and I think that that's part of what keeps people from doing it so readily. But, yes, it could be a very direct answer that you get, or it could be a dream that then you need to sit down and look at the symbols. And we talked last time about what that might entail. Do you think we should review it again real quick?
Yeah, I think so. I absolutely. There'll be new people listening, and so that would be a really, I think, important thing to hear about those things we were talking about. So let's go over them.
In the nutshell, what I recommend to people is that you keep a tablet near your bed, so that even if you wake up in the middle of the night, you can just roll over and jot down the keywords of the dream, or in the morning when you wake, you can write out your whole dream. I recommend that people write out the dream with plenty of space on a piece of paper, and then they go back and they underline or highlight keywords that could be symbolic, like colors, nouns, adverbs, adjectives, etc., things that are descriptive. Underline those words. Then if they have a dream symbology book, look up those keywords write in the margins or on the space of the page what those words might mean. And then you've got all that information on your page. You've got your dream, you've got the keywords, you've got the interpretation of those keywords, and then you can look at it all and derive a feeling or a thought or an understanding from it. And sometimes it has to cook in your brain a little bit. So once you've done all this stuff, if it's not real obvious, put it aside for a little while, revisit it at the end of the day. If you think you understand it, you want more clarity, then you can ask for that before you go to sleep again at nighttime.
So you can actually have a redo.
Yeah, we talked last time about re-entering a dream. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
But when you wake up from a dream and you look at the interpretation of it and you want more information following that dream line, you can actually re-enter that dream in a meditative state by remembering the dream detail by detail by detail. And then you can allow your guides or your higher consciousness to resolve the dream for you. Or you can step in and impose your will on it. Let's say in the dream a tree is getting cut down and you think it's really important that you should stop that tree from being cut down, then you can re-enter the dream, and at that point you can put a magic golden force field around it or something like that to keep the tree from being cut down. And these things actually translate then into our living world. If you see the tree as being yourself and you're being cut down, and then you go back into it and you put a magic force field around that tree, then you're not going to be impacted the same way. So
I know people have had dreams where they're being attacked or they're running. Could in your dream then you had this dream, you then have another, you manifest another, in a sense, the same dream, you go back into it and you turn around and you see who's chasing you.
Mm-hmm.
Could you actually do something like that? Because I've never done anything like that, but that sounds pretty fascinating.
Talking about two different things here too, I think. One thing is lucid dreaming, and that's while you're actually dreaming, you realize you're dreaming, and you can impose your will in the dream state at that time. Not everybody does that, and so for those people who don't do that, once they wake and they say, oh my gosh, I was being chased in that dream and it's really important for me to turn around and see who's chasing me, then they can re-enter the dream in a meditative state instead of going to sleep and trying to have control over it. And in that meditative
state, that's a better way.
Then
so it's almost like you're... So if I was working, let's say I'm working with someone, with, you know, another person or a therapist or someone that wants to help me and re-enter that dream, they could actually kind of bring you down in a meditative state and have you re-enter the dream and maybe talk or walk you through it again. And
a good way to walk somebody through it, just like you would do for yourself, is to remember every detail of the dream. So, you know, your talk therapist or yourself, either one, could start out with, okay, the dream started here, and then from here I went to there, and I remember seeing this thing and this thing and this thing. And as you're remembering it, you're seeing all that in your head. And then somebody walked in the door, and I realized the door opened from the left, and that person was wearing a purple shirt. And then that person said to me, turn around. And I did. I turned around. You know, you just remember all those details. You make it as rich in detail as you can. And in the process of remembering your dream and seeing it in your head as much as you can, you'll actually re-enter the dream. You'll get into that energy again. And you can actually allow your consciousness to resolve it for you or your guides. Or you can say, okay, at this point is where I'm going to do things differently, and I'm going to impose my will right here. And when that person told me to turn around, I didn't think that was a good thing to do, so I'm actually going to face that person instead, or whatever it is that... so there's all kinds of ways of working with the dream state, and this is one of the examples that we're talking about right now. But a good place to start... is to get in the habit of writing down your dream.
Yeah, that's number one.
Yeah.
Because now I don't always remember them, my dreams. I have to admit, I don't have this vivid, always vivid memory of my dreams. I may remember one little thing, just
mm-hmm.
one little thing, mm-hmm. or how I felt
mm-hmm.
when I woke up. Sometimes it's more of how I felt,
mm-hmm.
and I felt like, oh, that was an interesting dream. And then someone, my husband, will say, you know, what was it about? And I'm like, I don't know, but I felt really good.
Mm-hmm.
So I sometimes don't remember the exact thing that happened, but I have a remembrance of the feeling that I had when I woke up. So I know that it was something positive. And
right.
sometimes I just look at that. You know, I just look mm-hmm. at that experience that I've had, and then it was, I felt so, and then I kind of check in with myself and realize that, hey, things are going well. I feel good. I feel positive. I feel, you know, in my power. And so, therefore, it's kind of resonating, too, in my dream states that I'm having these experiences. So I think for a lot of people, which I have spoken to, who don't remember their dreams, that's one way, too, to recognize that you did have an experience.
Right.
While you were dreaming, you might not quite remember it like verbatim, like we were just talking about the left and the right and the black and the
mm-hmm.
white, but you may remember how you felt.
Exactly.
And now that is something to keep a record of, too. When you woke up,
yeah.
did you have a restless feeling? Were you afraid?
Yeah.
To, you know, that is something to look at, too.
I tell people that we get the information. It's just not conscious
mm-hmm.
to us. So if you've dreamt something, it's in there somewhere, and so you got the information. If it's important for you to be conscious of the information, your guides
mm-hmm.
will keep delivering it until you're conscious of it. So
mm-hmm.
if you dreamt something and you don't remember and it's important that you remember, your guides will continue to deliver that information to you until you do.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's where I think we still, that's where I am feeling that we get sometimes these alternative messages that are happening around us. And we were talking about animals and how they show up.
Mm-hmm.
And in some way, it kind of feels the same, like the same thing to me, that the animal totems are the messages of our subconscious sometimes, that it's
yes.
trying to, like, let us recognize something that we are not tuning into.
Right.
So I have a feeling that kind of, they go hand in hand a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes, like, I will not remember a dream, but that next day I may see a hawk all day long.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, I'm going, and so then I look in my book and it tells me it's healer, and it tells me about, you know, deep healing going on. And then I have to, then I kind of think, yeah, that is actually kind of going on, and it's going on around me, and I'm always present with that. And so it gives me a sense to catch hold of what the message might be, even though in my dream I might not have gotten it. I'm still going to be getting those messages throughout
right.
my awakened states
right.
and through medicine, through the totem, through animal medicine. So let's kind of veer off a little bit, because I love animal medicine. It's very Native American to me, but then therefore we were talking about the different symbols that different books represent with the animal totems, and that
right.
those are not always how and what the message might be for you. So let's talk
right.
a little about that, because I love animals. I just adore them, and I know you do too. So if you find yourself, this is what an animal totem, or this might be what you might see. For you, you might be driving down the street, and every day you see crows or ravens,
mm-hmm.
or you see owls or spiders or bees or bluebirds. I mean, this is different for wherever you are in the country, but it's going to represent something different for you than it would for me because of where we are, like
right.
Davis was talking about. Remember you were saying, tell us about that. Like if you see an elephant and you're in India, it's not going to be an easy thing.
Background or a connection with India, and you're very familiar with India either because you're from India or you live in India or you're Hindu or you have visited there a lot. If you see an elephant, it's going to represent most probably Ganesha, which is the
mm-hmm.
Hindu, one of the Hindu gods. Whereas if you're in Africa or if you have a connection with Africa or if you're from Africa or if you've visited there quite
mm-hmm.
a bit, if you see an elephant in a dream, it's going to mean something completely different for you than if you were from India. A lot of the books that we have that tell us about different animal symbology, a lot of those books draw off of all these different world symbols, so that they can give you a broad spectrum, or maybe they'll give you a more narrow spectrum if it, maybe it'll be a book that the interpretation is mostly based in the United States. So it'll be symbology that shows up more predominantly in North American folk tales, Native American folk tales, etc. So, and then another way of looking at what animals might represent is, what do they do? How do they show up in this world? You know, like a vulture is great at cleaning up messes. So if you dream of vultures, then maybe the message is about cleaning up messes. And what does a coyote do? What does a cat do? Or what's unique about their colors or their numbers? What's unique about that animal? What is it that makes that animal different from another type of animal? What is it that animal, only that animal, can symbolize? Like, you know, if you have a whole bunch of cats, then each one of them could represent something different. But if you had one cat that was different from all the others, then that cat would be carrying a different message. I don't think I explained that very well. What makes that animal unique that no other animal can do? And that's where you start in coming to understand what that animal might be communicating.
Yeah, I get you. I like that way. I think that's practical information for you to kind of get the message right away instead of have to go through even a book and look it up, because you had to just ask, well, what does that animal do? That's really wonderful, because you could say, oh, cat, what does a cat represent or do? So they do, they're very good mousers, so they do clean up things too. Yeah, and how are they? Maybe the animal is, you know, a cat is very sure-footed.
Mm-hmm.
They're clever.
Mm-hmm.
They are playful.
They're a little wild.
They're a little wild. They're very aloof. So those words could represent something that you are connecting to or being. You know, if you cat to me is a very aloof creature. Yeah, that's interesting. I'd kind of do it that way now, because I just see them and I kind of feel out, like you said, if you feel a certain way about an animal. See, I particularly don't like spiders. I know people who love spiders. So when I see a spider, I totally get a different vibe. And then I have to kind of go, okay, it's a spider. All right, what am I learning here about this? And then also see that, you know, what good this spider has. It kills, you know, mosquitoes. It cleans up things too. You know, so I try to find the positive note of this creature, even if I don't particularly like it, you know,
The fact that you have an uncomfortable feeling about spiders can even indicate something. You know?
Right.
Okay, this spider is showing up in my dream state, and it's getting my attention because I feel so uncomfortable about it.
And so then it shakes me up a bit so that I have to look at it a little bit deeper. So sometimes the bad things or the things that we fear and then they show up actually kind of promote you to look at something that you might not want to look at because of your feeling about it, you know.
Right.
So maybe it's a bigger thing, you know, for me. See, I'm looking at them in my waking day state, not my dream state. So when I see a spider in my day state, which is a message to me, you know, I take it as a message.
Right.
I can actually bring that into sometimes my subconscious mind and go further into it in my dream state, you know, so it kind of uncovers some of the things that I might have been shoving under the blanket, you know.
Absolutely.
Not that I didn't want to look at. So we have a caller, so let's take him.
Okay.
Can't wait to talk to him. Hi, who are we talking to? Hello? Hi, who are we talking to?
Hi, this is Annette.
Hi, Annette. How are you today?
I am well.
So do you have any dreams or anything that you'd like to discuss with us? We'd love to hear about it.
Yes. As a matter of fact, this is really odd because I don't know what your show is about today.
Oh, you?
No, I don't. But I do have a dream. Oh, good.
Well, I had a dream about 3 to 4 days ago. I was standing in the mirror. I was looking at myself, and I was wearing a white eyelet dress. And as I'm looking at myself in the mirror, out of the left side of me, this really dark cloud or figure just somewhat moved in front of me and covered my face down to about my waist. And I could no longer see my reflection. And I said to this mist, "Get out of my way. I'm not afraid of you." And it just dissolved. Disappeared.
Wow.
Perfect.
Yeah. Now, I'm feeling that was interesting. That was so not a dream. But
no, it wasn't a dream.
No. I just feel like, yeah, you were just visited by, you know, an entity, and you told it to leave. That's happened a lot to me. And
oh, really?
And it is like a dark mist, yeah, feeling when they come in. How about you, Davis? Are you picking up that that was a dream, or did you feel like that?
Well,
really,
you know, the way I look at it is anything can have multiple expressions.
Right.
And so
yeah.
if I were to look at it as a dream, mm-hmm. when I look at the symbols, you know, the mirror, the white eyelet dress, white generally represents higher frequency, spiritual expression. Eyelet represents allowing oneself to be vulnerable or to be exposed, because there are little holes in eyelet, and it shows part of us. And so you're looking at yourself in a spiritual state and also in allowing yourself to be more exposed. Things that come from the left or things that are related to the left or tend to be a little bit more unconscious. And so this unconscious thing is coming in to cover you up. And that could even be an aspect of yourself that does not want to express in the world as spiritual and is afraid to allow yourself to be more authentic.
Yes.
And so it comes in to cover up your identity for you.
Yes.
And you say, no, I'm not going to have this. And so
that
the most important part of the dream is you saying, no, this isn't going to happen. And the fact that when you did, it dissipated immediately. Very, very powerful. Very powerful. Either way
that's
you look at it.
That's what surprised me. That's what surprised me is that I said, no, this is not going to happen.
Yes.
I'm not going to allow this anymore.
Yes.
Because I've allowed so much of that in my awake life.
Uh-huh.
That I'm it's interesting because, again, I mean, you're right on, because I'm now at a point in my life where I'm like, you know what? It is time for me to start being authentic.
Great.
And really start, you know, taking a stand and speaking my truth and fighting for me.
Yes.
And not allowing people to basically abuse me and just dismiss me.
Right.
So.
And the eyelet is a really nice in-between, because if you were standing there nude in front of the mirror,
mm-hmm.
you would be completely vulnerable, completely authentic. You'd be showing up with no no defenses, no nothing stopping anybody from seeing the real you.
Yeah.
But the eyelet dress lets some of the real you show out.
Yes.
And some of it be covered up. So it's a nice place to start. It's
yes.
a nice, it's a symbol that allows you to take a step toward being even more fully authentic.
Yes.
A very, very good
symbology. I also feel like there's a part of me when it comes to my spirituality that I keep very close to me.
Yeah.
Many, you know, I've just gotten to the point where I'm learning to protect it more,
mm-hmm.
Boundary-wise, not to allow everyone into my space like I've done many years ago,
mm-hmm.
and I was becoming more, I don't know, it's protective or more, I don't know what the word is. I don't know if it's protective or it's selective, more selective. As to
about
who I allow
mm-hmm.
in my space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
instead of just having the boundaries where there are no boundaries. Anyone's welcome, like this, right. This dark entity was welcome. Mm-hmm. Many years ago it was welcome. Now it's like, no,
no.
You're not.
Yes, very mm-hmm. good. Yeah, I had a friend years ago that used to teach a number of types of workshops, and she had the saying, she said, the picture does the work.
Mm.
So what she meant by that is if you had an image that you could pull up into your head, that image would actually translate your life to be consistent with it. So if you considered yourself someone downtrodden and you had a picture of that in your head, then you're going to create that.
Exactly.
Whereas if you envision yourself as you were reflected in that mirror, standing straight mm-hmm. in this white dress, which is a spiritual color, with little bits of you showing through to the world,
mm-hmm.
then what's going to happen is you're going to show up that way more and more in the world. So I would tell you, hold on to that image. Pull it up in your mind as frequently as you can. When you're stopped at a stoplight, or when you're washing dishes, or when you're cleaning, making bed, whatever, pull that image up into your head and just keep seeing yourself that way, and your life will align itself with that picture.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. And again, the symbolism of that dream, and again, sometimes my dreams are so vivid where I can give you the detailing of an individual suit as to what it was wearing, whether it was, was it a red pinstripe or whether it was a green pinstripe.
Yeah.
It's so detailed in color.
Yeah.
Whether or not there were wrinkles in it or whether or not it was straight.
Yes. And I think those details, because they're important.
Yes.
If they weren't important, your consciousness wouldn't be holding on to them.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Very,
so,
very, very true.
I'd encourage you to write these things down.
Okay. Yeah.
And work with them. And if you ever have any questions at the end of the show, I'll leave my number.
Oh, that'd be great.
You can always call and we can walk through or clarify the bits and pieces that you haven't been able to do on your own.
Because I have a log of some of the dreams are just so powerful that I can't tell the difference. Is it a dream or is it a vision?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And it could be either or both.
Right.
Too.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because all that happens.
And that's what we were talking about, Annette, is that there are different dreams that represent something that's a message. It could be a message from the other side. Those are very unique dreams that you really remember.
Yeah.
And sometimes then what the other person, your grandmother might have said to you, is another way that your subconscious is giving you information that would be beneficial to your life, to kind of put you in a power place. I think that usually when we're not in our power, and that means the full and intense, beautiful power that we kind of originally were when we were born, and we've moved in and out of different places that really aren't who we are. I mean, are not. They're just not. Due to religion, due to mother and father training, or whatever the reason was that we moved away from the real true self, the one that, existed long before in many lifetimes, has always been the same, I feel. So a lot of times, this is where it gets distorted, and some of the details and that you remember are really where the focus needs to be
mm-hmm.
looked at. Like if you're seeing pinstripes, I'm thinking to myself, boy, I don't think I've ever seen anything that vivid in my dream. Maybe I saw a flower petal once that was really clear, or I saw a raindrop really clear. But if you're seeing things at that level of detail, there's a lot of information
mm-hmm.
that's in the detail of what you're there, of why you're seeing it that way. Don't you think
absolutely.
You're absolutely right, because when I'm looking at this figure, I mean, it was a pinstripe suit, but not only that, it was double-breasted.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, people still wear double
breasted. But then there could be that question, Annette, who wore double, in your life, you could ask it at many levels. What does a pinstripe suit represent to me?
Yes.
And you might say, oh, like my pastor used to wear them. Oh, yeah, okay.
Right.
Or my father used to wear them, or my grandfather. So the,
or it could
the
mean
detail
contrast.
That you're.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
I never thought.
Or it could mean you're supposed to be in the fashion industry, Annette.
Well, that's funny, because at one time I was a seamstress and I made pen stripes.
Well, there you go. Now we're on the
something. Then that
it's work related.
Or
so again,
that
I knew that the suit was wool.
Yeah.
It was a wool suit, and I noticed. I'm like, wow, his pants are wrinkled. I'm like, why do I know all
wow.
this?
Wow. But see, it's a different thing. You see, as we start to ask you the questions, your answers are going to give you what that suit really represents to you. So you worked as a seamstress, so that could represent that the suit is representing work.
Yeah.
And the lack of, or that it's not here, or you're worried about it. So you see how you're, yeah. Or like
it could represent a lot of times, Annette, when things from our past show up, they're what I call a time marker. So it could also be that whatever that dream is talking to you about is something that relates back to your past at that time when you were a seamstress. Like sometimes if your high school shows up, it means it goes back to when you were 17 years old.
Wow.
There was an issue that started then that's showing up now in your life, and that's what the dream is about. Or it could be, you know, another thing of what is seamstressing. Seamstressing is putting things together and making a whole out of them, bringing pieces together that don't function on their own and creating a whole. So there's all kinds of ways of looking at this.
Well,
but,
the thing about it is that how can I say it? The reason why I noticed such a detailing in this suit was because I was walking down the street and I had tripped and I had fallen. And when the individual, I could not see him from, I could only see him from his shoes up to, I would say probably the middle of his stomach. And I just noticed, because he was so close, I could notice all the detailing of his suit. But when I went to look up, I can't describe to you because I can't describe to you how this image was, because it was more of a spirit.
Well,
I can't tell you that he had brown skin or white skin,
right.
But when I looked up, there was nothing. All I could see was brightness,
yeah.
And it was love. I'm like,
well, a lot of times, Annette, our spirit guides don't reveal their faces.
Yes.
And it is because they don't want us focusing on those things.
That's true.
They want us to focus on their vibration, their energy, as opposed to what their name is or whether they're an archangel or not. And so that's pretty common to not be able to see facial features.
Okay.
What I think is astounding is that instead they're showing you all these clothing features. And so it might be a guide that's wanting you to focus on those things, like I'm assuming the slacks were one color and the jacket was a different fabric, or were
no,
they all the same?
It was all the same.
It was all pinstripe.
It was all pinstripe, and I'm like, I just noticed, I'm like, wow, pinstripe, and it was a blue pinstripe, and it was double-breasted, and I'm like, what?
Was it? Was there another color besides the blue?
It was blue, and I believe there was white in this pinstripe suit, and it was, I never touched the suit, but looking at it, I could tell that it was a wool, because the legs were somewhat wrinkled.
Uh-huh.
But even when I looked upon him, not concentrating on how he physically looked, but looked upon him, I just felt totally in love.
Yes. Well, were you on a street or elsewhere when you tripped and fell?
I believe I was on the street, and he walked over to help me up.
And I mean, all this is just so beautiful. You've got great dreams, Annette.
I do.
So my last question would be, when you were a seamstress, did you have, during that period of time in your life, did you have some particular difficulty that showed up that you had to work through?
It's interesting that you say that, because I believe during that, the time in which I had the dream, I was going through a lot.
Okay.
Through a lot.
Because
and,
The tripping and falling is symbolic also. We do that in our lives. I mean, marrying somebody and then ending up divorcing, that might feel like you've fallen.
Well, that's what happened to me.
Okay.
You just feel it.
This guide, I believe, is telling you, I was there while you were a seamstress, and I'm here with you now.
Yes.
And I'm always here to help lift you up when you trip and fall, and maybe even to guide you so that you don't trip to start with.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like I said, I have a journal of some of the most, I mean, even near-death experience of telling me that I needed to be very careful during the divorce proceedings to be careful of my ex-husband, to whom I wouldn't think would ever hurt me. But the dream of a near-death experience and, you know, people walking, I went through the whole experience, walking down through the tunnel. But for me, it was a long, dark corridor.
Mm-hmm.
And that no matter what happened, I will be okay.
Yeah.
I will be safe. I will be taken care of. But it warned me, you need to be careful.
Yeah.
You really need to be careful.
Well, I think that you, I mean, I think you're well on your way to working with your dream state. You seem to have an understanding of which ones are noteworthy and how to translate them into your life. And I would encourage you to just keep it up. And, just keep
I
going.
Will.
What do you say, Patty?
Yeah. So, Annette, did you happen to hear the beginning when Davis was talking about writing your dream down and then underlying in different colors words in your dream, like pinstripe, suit, wrinkles,
blue.
You know, all those things, blue.
Yeah.
And then if you have a book, which you might want to get a hold of one, which one would you recommend, Davis, for her to pick
I
up
love
dream
Betty book? Bethard's dream book is my favorite symbology book.
Okay.
So her last
and where would
built.
She maybe on you just go to Borders and see if they have one. But then what she said to do is underline all the words, go through the book and see what their what it would mean. Yeah, exactly.
That's a good
so
idea.
They may have many different meanings of that. Like just like we said, a suit, what does it mean to you? Well, we didn't know you were once a seamstress, so that really made it much more personal than possibly that book might bring to you. But those are what we could start to do. And then any money, they'll start to uncover even more for you on what it is that message is. Now, I mean, as a psychic, of course, you know, I'm sure Davis is picking up on what this message might have been at the time, and that's probably what she was picking up on too, that there was great, you know, you fell down, you were being, you know, and there was some spirit that you looked up that didn't have a face but was loving you through this time. So, again, it really represented a lot on a spiritual level as well of how taken care of you are and how protected you are,
Even the dream of me wearing the eyelet dress, it showed me actually, this is how I felt stepping into my power and saying, you know what, no more.
Mm-hmm.
No more.
Yeah.
This is who I am. I'm showing up being who I am. No more.
Mm-hmm.
No
and
more.
That's
such a big statement for everybody, though.
Absolutely.
When you can really say that and say, no more abuse, no more not being the light and the power that I am. I mean, no more means a lot to a lot of
Absolutely.
People.
Absolutely.
But and I think that when you finally, when it's coming into you and it's coming through in your dreams, it really has shifted and changed for you. Because we can say no more all day long. And then, you know, the behavior continues.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think when you're getting it in your subconscious mind, there is a real shift that has just happened that you can rely on. Yeah,
absolutely.
Don't you agree?
And now you've been given a picture to work with, too.
Yes. And
that's
why it also let me know that you're on the right track.
Yes.
You're on
the
right track.
Yeah.
Yes, you
and,
are.
You know, and like I like what David said, is to keep that vision in your mind.
Oh, I love
of that woman in the mirror that is cleared and that whole smoky thing has moved away.
I wouldn't even think of the smoky thing.
No. Well, the smoky thing, it just represents that you're not allowing. You're pushing away.
Yes,
you're not allowing anything to get into your space that doesn't allow you to shine. Because I think, and the interesting thing is that you were looking at yourself in a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is like a vision of yourself, that you're not afraid to look at yourself.
Absolutely.
You know, when you see a mirror, I would say that you have done lots of work and you're not afraid to go deep. when you see a mirror show up. You know, it's
the
reflection of who you are, how you really, is it congruent to who you are showing up as? That's very powerful.
The mirror is showing you how the world sees you too.
Yes, and I've waited so long to see this, and the fact that I wasn't afraid, because I've always been afraid to show up being who I am, and I've hidden all of that, and all of a sudden it's like, you know what, no more.
Yes, and you're letting parts of you that you've kept covered up show now.
Yes.
It's wonderful.
Yes.
Well, you, we have one more, we have some more callers, so why not just keep listening, Annette, and you can
share. Yes, absolutely.
All right.
Thanks for your call, Annette.
Sure. Thanks, lady.
Thank you. Hi, you're in Heart and Soul. Who are we talking to?
Oh, hi.
Hello?
It's Kathy. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes,
hi,
I can. Perfectly. Hi, Kathy.
Good.
How are you?
Good. How
Do
are
you have any? Good. Have you had any interesting dreams you'd like to share?
I have. Actually, I had a dream of someone I was in a relationship with in the past. And someone else showed up in that same dream, and she had my outfit on. So I'm kind of curious as to what that means. So the dream was really, really vivid.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if she worked with him or if she was seeing him or whatever, but I was just wondering, what does that mean when someone else shows up in your... It was like one of my favorite outfits.
Was that other person someone you know, Kathy?
No, not that. I mean, she didn't look like someone I know currently.
Mm-hmm. And then the other question I would have is, what was the interaction between your ex and this person wearing your clothes?
Well, it was really weird because he was sitting at a desk, right, calling her name, and then you could see her. She was, like, remotely out somewhere else, but she was in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see her going into a door.
Mm-hmm.
But he was sitting at his desk, and then you know, it was like split screen. It was weird. It was just like a snapshot, you know.
Did she come to him when he called her?
Yeah, she went into the door.
Uh-huh.
That's a good question. I didn't.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, Patty, if you're getting any feeling for this or not, but I think that this dream might be an expression of some of your own regrets about the relationship. And the reason I say that is I suspect that that other person is actually an aspect of you or an expression of you. And the way that your unconscious let you know that is that it put your clothes on her. The outfit that she was wearing, was it special to you in some way or another? Is that outfit something that symbolizes something for you?
Oh, I just love it. I love the color. I think it looks good on me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why when I saw that, I thought, that's got to mean something.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What color is the outfit?
It's kind of it's a bright blue. It's not a deep blue. It's a bright blue.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Bright blue. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so when you saw the color of this dress, that's how you knew it was yours on this girl? So the color blue came out to you.
It's unique. You know, it's a unique outfit. You wouldn't really, it's hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
So,
and now would you say is it an evening thing or a day you would wear it during the day?
No, it's like a dress up, you know, something that you would wear either to work or even like you could wear it, well, I wore it to my son's graduation, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's something you would
wear. Okay, so it is a special outfit for a special occasion.
Yeah.
That's interesting. See, we're getting clearer on the meaning of what that outfit represents. So that's why all the questions really kind of bring you to a bigger question, really. Bigger question.
I mean,
so,
if it's in lingerie, it would mean something different than if it was a dress.
That's what I'm trying to kind of get that vibe of where you were, what you would be doing if you had that outfit on, and now you see this other girl wearing your outfit,
mm-hmm.
which would represent this specialness, this occasion, this kind of important day or night that you'd be celebrating something. So,
do you remember any features, Kathy, about the woman?
Oh yeah,
that's another.
She
does she look like?
Like golden, long blonde hair, not real long, but like shoulder length, a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
She was pretty. She was, very shapely.
Mm-hmm.
Fit. Just.
Do you?
No, I have a question. Yeah, go ahead, David.
Do you feel like that describes you at all?
Well, everything except for my hair. Well, no, I'm not really shapely. I'm petite. But, in that dress, I look shapely. That's what, that's why I like that dress.
Do you, Kathy, ever have thoughts that if you had been more shapely, or if you had long blonde golden hair, that your relationship would have lasted? Do you ever? Let me put it a different way. Do you? Was there ever a point where you had any feelings that part of the reason your relationship ended was because maybe you weren't physically quite what he wanted?
That could play a part in it, he was just a few years younger than me, so I always wondered why he would want someone older,
mm-hmm.
It was only 5 years difference. It wasn't that mm-hmm. great of a difference. Some of that plays into that.
Yeah. So that's a good question.
and I have all these great questions that we just keep throwing at you. Was the breakup mutual, or did one of you initiate it?
Well, we broke up twice. Often what he tends to do is leave abruptly.
Mm-hmm.
There's no forewarning.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what he does.
And that's what happened this time.
It seems to be a pattern. He'll come and go.
And then would he initiate getting back together again? If he left abruptly, would it be him that then reached out to you after that to get you guys back together?
Yeah, normally.
Yeah. Yeah, I really think that this dream is about you. I don't think that it's because there's a woman that he works with or anything like that. I think that mm-hmm. this dream is just revealing to you some of the thoughts that you're having that maybe you're not very conscious about. And mm-hmm. it could also say that he is on some level calling out to you again, reaching out to you again.
I know we have a soul connection.
Mm-hmm.
even though we have issues,
mm-hmm.
but there's this deep soul connection, and you can't really deny it. So we're connected mm-hmm. even though we're not together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know that.
Mm-hmm.
But, what happened many years ago? Actually, when I was in college, I did have a soulmate, and he also left abruptly, and I figured this out after 30 years, because I was really trying to put this to bed, because it really caused like a great hardship
mm-hmm.
In my life, and I never realized that it was unresolved, right?
Mm-hmm.
So after thinking about it, I had, he left in, it must have been like May, in the 80s, And so over the summer, you know, I was hanging out with girlfriends and that, so I really wasn't thinking about him that much. And then in the fall, I had this dream that he had a terrible car accident. And now I've figured out what that meant. It was just like my mind's way of trying to figure out, put an end to the, figure out why he left and there was no resolution to it. And I think that's what my mind did, is it created this accident, so there was a reason why he, you know, why he didn't.
So that you could have some closure.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because
you know, Kathy, as you talk, the feeling I get is that you have contracts with various people. You know, we all have contracts with various people. And these two men that you're referring to, the one 30 years ago and the more recent one, who leave abruptly, the feeling I get is that their contract is complete, your contract with them is complete, and so then they leave. And it's just abrupt in that you don't realize that the contract is complete. So I would encourage you to spend a little time thinking about that, thinking about, gosh, I have these soul connections with these people. We've made agreements, and our agreement is complete right now. And then they've left because your purpose for coming together is done.
Mm-hmm.
So think about that for a little while. See if that makes you see the picture a little differently.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I had one more question. When the dream happened, was there something big happening in your life? Was there something that you would have you would wear that dress to, that was like in your day, or that you had to go to?
It could have been my son's graduation, actually.
Oh, yeah, you did mention that. So that could have brought up this for you, because did you go solo? Was the other question to the graduation? You didn't bring a date or anything?
I went with one, but I would have rather gone with someone else.
Oh, see, there you go. Interesting. So now we're getting to see a bigger picture to what the events that might have brought the dream to you. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you had gone to this benefit or this big function with your son's graduation with someone that you didn't really have that energy with, you know. So you dream, in a sense, about the boyfriend wearing this dress that you would have worn to a special occasion, like a graduation possibly.
Well,
so it might have been your subconscious trying to kind of flip it to to how what you would have wanted it to be, which would be, you know, with him. And see, you didn't want to admit that it was you that were feeling this way about him still, so you put a different girl in your outfit.
Isn't that interesting? I love
that. And the girl sounded very sexy and very pretty and very feminine and shapely. So this was like your, and I'm going to call it your sexual self that lives undercover sometimes. And I like to see them in my dreams because, of course, I know everybody in my dream is me. So this girl does represent you, the blonde and the shape. So that was maybe someone you had hidden out, and she shows up in your dream to say,
wow, this is really...
Is it hitting on it? You think a little?
Cool.
I have a feeling, yeah, because, like, let's say you had another date, there was no chemistry. Sometimes that makes you think of the chemistry you had with someone else, you know, and in your subconscious is where you're going to feel it sometimes, because we always think it's over because we're not talking about it, you know. We always think it's over because we haven't seen the person, but sometimes it's really not over in our subconscious or in our minds, that we haven't forgotten it yet, you know. We haven't forgotten that chemistry or that connection you had with that person. So, interesting.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, yeah, that would be hard to forget, so...
Yeah, and see, now through dating another person, possibly, who didn't have that for you, brings it up even more, you know. My poor. I think that's that sometimes what happens, you know, you go on a really bad date and then it kind of makes you think back of the last boyfriend in a different way. Because,
it really
you know,
does.
You go, oh, you maybe wasn't so bad, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, isn't that
yeah.
funny how your mind is always constantly trying to resolve things?
Yes.
Always. Yeah.
Wow.
It is. So it's a good question for you to kind of just say, have I really, you know, let this person go?
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes we think we did, but until we really, you know, go into another place within a real life, then we see that we really didn't, you know, there's still remnants or attachments. And I like to see that we want to be free from attachments. We really do, energetic attachments, because then they kind of keep us stuck, you know. So it could be something that's trying to show you to go a little deeper, to get a little bit more resolve in yourself within this relationship that did just abruptly leave. Because abrupt is not fun. I mean, I feel when you said abrupt, that hurts. It hurts your soul. It doesn't give you the answers that you need. And so we make them up because we don't know what happened. They just left, you know. It's really, it's not a fair deal in a sense, you know, that somebody does that to you. So we are constantly trying to make it make sense to us. You know,
that is so fascinating. So the saga continues, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
a little. It does.
Yeah.
Yeah, it continues a little, but I think that ultimately it's about, well, the question then would be, have I really let this go? You know?
Oh, no. I mean, that would be, like, incredibly hard. I mean, I'll take
it. That would be incredibly hard, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
That
okay.
would be ongoing.
It would be ongoing. But then the other question is, do we really then, if we haven't let something go and yet we want something to happen in our lives that is magnificent, like a love relationship or really whatever it is we want to create that would make us feel happy about something, you know, we really then have to look at what we haven't let go so that, that new thing can come into your life.
Right.
So it could be just a stepping stone for you to say, hey, you know, I want a new relationship. I'm trying. But am I really trying? Because it's like, you know, you know, that big question. If you have a really cluttered house and you're saying, I really would love to have a relationship. Now, I've done lots of relationship work with people, and I've gone over and I think to myself, you know, and I've shared with them, you want a relationship, but there's no room for another person in your real existence that you're living. So therefore, no relationship can come into your life. Even though you're saying you'd like it, you're actually not allowing it on many levels. So if they clear, you know, I always think it's a good idea to look around and say, do I have room? So make a room. Clean up part of your closet, you know, so someone else could put their clothes. You know, if you have a dirty garage, make room for someone's car, you know. So you, on an energetic level, are really preparing yourselves for what it is that you really do want. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
so it feels like that to me. It feels like you're coming into a really bigger question about, well, you know, if I'm going to keep bouncing back and forth here with this guy that comes in and out, and yet I'm keeping the door open, am I letting them, if I really close this and really forgive this and really let it go on a spiritual level, then new and bigger and beautiful things can happen to me. That also, to me, is what's really kind of happening for you. You know, doesn't that feel like it's like
the
universe is trying to work with her to say, you know, we want her to get her to kind of get out of her own way.
You know? That's true. Well, you know, I think sometimes if we don't want to let go of something, we do maybe hold on to the clutter so we don't leave the stuff behind.
But then what happens, though, is the clutter becomes the very reason that we're not getting what it is we would really desire. Yeah. Because it's energy.
Yeah. Exactly right. I see your point, you know. I'm agreeing with you. I'm just saying.
But, you know, agreeing is good.
I've been on.
Agreeing is good. Yeah.
You know, I've been
That's where you're at, though. Doesn't it feel, Davis, that she's at this turning point of consciousness?
Yeah,
it's like...
That's what I meant by knowing that there were contracts that are complete, and the men who have moved on knew they were complete, and that's why they moved on. But if you know, Kathy, that those contracts are complete, that can set you free. And all the stuff that Patty just said will fall into place. You'll be able to let go of that relationship because the work is done. What you guys agreed to do is done. That doesn't mean you love each other on a soul level any less. It just means that what you agreed to do is done. And so now it's time to move on to the next thing.
That's a big one, David. So how do we help? And this is, I'm going to use my wonderful, smart friend, Davis. How do we do that? Because that is the, you know, I hear this all the time. Of course, a lot of women have a hard time letting go, like really letting go of someone, a past love that they've had. I mean, I've had girlfriends who have loved the same ex-boyfriend for 5 or 6 years. And, you know, and they never were able to move into a new relationship because the only one they were ever really concerned with was this ex-boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And it was the very reason that there was no new boyfriend. So how do they do this? How do they manifest a new thought process that really lets them let it go?
Well, you know, this is a very huge question, and there can be all
it's a good one.
I think that a lot of the things that you were talking about and when you were just walking through with Kathy really help people to illumine things. The cleaning house, that's such a symbolic act. Because, you know, here we are talking about dreams, so I'm going to talk about symbolism. The house represents the self, the whole self. So when you clean out the house, you clean out your own being. Closets represent those things that we, the place where we tuck things away that maybe we don't want to look at. So when you clean out your closets, you're cleaning out your unconscious in yourself, too.
Oh,
when you clean your basement, you clean out your unconscious. So get what's out from under the bed. Clean that stuff out. And in the process, you might clean out the things that keep you attached to, that keep women attached to those men, too. So that was
so you think that doing a physical, David, so do you think, I know this works for me. It's all I do is start with one thing. And the closet is usually the biggest thing for me because, of course, women have their lifetime, you know, their identity. Isn't it interesting, Kathy, you dreamed of an outfit. So how we identify with our clothes is really how we identify with the closet, too.
Right.
It's very much a part of how we are organized in our soul and ourselves.
Yeah.
So a lot of times if I am feeling unsettled, I do. I organize my closet. I put everything in color-coded, you know, black. And I feel better. All of a sudden I feel like I can just feel myself at a deeper level, and it feels a little more grounded and together, you know.
I call that living symbolically, that when you see that everything that you do in your waking life, you can translate it into a symbolism, and you can look at what a deeper understanding of your actions are then. So you are making room in your life when you clean out a closet. You are clarifying the undercurrents when you clean out a closet. And when you start looking at things like picking apples might be something you could look at symbolically, or writing a letter that you don't actually send, that starts shifting energy because it's a communication that is being manifested on some level. So I would encourage, I would encourage you to start looking at letting this go, trusting that you have a soul connection with these men and letting yourself move on to what's next.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of what I was thinking about this. And it's interesting that you talked about cleaning the closet. I took a bunch of my old clothes and, things I can't wear any longer. I just thought, why am I holding on to these old things? You know, they don't fit. They, you know, they hang on me. It's just senseless, really.
And that just would symbolize letting go of your old self. You know,
yeah,
letting go of that thing that doesn't really express you anymore.
Yeah, you do. You shift when you do that. You know, it's really good. And then
now I have a question. Did that dream come after you did that?
No.
Like after you cleaned your closet? No. Was it before or after you had that experience?
It was before. Yeah.
Before, okay. Just wondered if that it was, So it's interesting.
When I saw the dream, the thought that came to me was, oh, he's moved on, you know, and, well, okay, you know, that was a thought I had. You know, it was kind of like that. You know, that was the thought. And I didn't really have any major feeling attached to it. You know, it was just like, oh, okay.
You know, I tell people that the best place to start with your dreams and interpreting them is to assume that everything in the dream is a symbol of you. It doesn't necessarily mean that by the time you're done interpreting your dream, you're still going to see it that way, but it's a really good place to start. And if that's the case, then, Kathy, you got the message that that I also gave you and Patty also gave you, and that that it's time for you to move on. If everything in the dream is you, and in the dream the message you got is that your boyfriend has moved on, then that's really saying you've moved on because he's an aspect of you in the dream. So it's time for you to do that. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, that's so true, David.
Yeah.
And you were okay about the feeling you had wasn't that you were upset when you saw this other girl. It was like, oh, he moved on. Oh, interesting. So that was you as well, feeling that way.
Yeah.
That's
what I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah. He did resurface recently, so.
Oh.
It's interesting. So, well, you know. It's just always interesting, you know, and I just, I'm having fun, you know, I'm enjoying what I do. I mean, I don't, you know, I just enjoy what I do and I don't hold a lot of feelings in and as things as much as I used to, you know, and I'm just all about, I'm trying to have fun right now. You know,
aren't we all? That's my main focus.
It's so serious, and so why not try to make it fun? You know, so
Anyway, I hear you with that one for sure.
Yeah.
Well, Kathy, I mean, I think that you're coming into a whole new level of just kind of exploring where you're at right now. And maybe that really was all about you. Of course, like she said, Davis is right. They're all you. So you let him go. You saw him with someone else. It was good. It was your outfit. It was so represented you, kind of letting this whole experience be over with. Yeah, and even though he's resurfaced, it hasn't. Has it manifested, or just he's just shown up again? I mean, has he truly been involved with you?
Oh, no, not truly involved, no.
Okay.
You know, it's just continuing the saga, you know, more of the saga. And just interesting, I'd advise people be very careful, you know, of the things that you get back. I mean, it's just, you know, and I see everything as a learning lesson now, you know. And so I'm, like, okay with a lot of lessons that I'm learning that aren't always easy.
No, I know. Well, the good ones are usually continuous.
It's just all part of the process, so, you know, and it's all on how you look at it. And I tend to, like, just look at it as, oh, isn't that interesting? Oh, that has, you know, that's an interesting lesson. Now, see how I can use that in the future, you know, and go on and have fun.
Yeah. I'm sure you're talking to a lot of women out there, Kathy, about this because, you know, like we said, this is a big question, and how do we really let things go? And that is sometimes the hardest thing we really are trying to do. And I think that it's like, it's a thought first, it's a desire second, and then it kind of manifests itself a little. And it takes a while for it to really trickle down into the subconscious where you have truly let it go, you know, because it starts in the mind and in the desire, and then it kind of works its way through into the whole being is when you finally let it really go. And it could be months down the road, years down the road. So it isn't something, it's not something that's an easy task.
30 years, so.
Oh, really? 30 years, yes. See, you're giving, okay, see, this is the thing where a lot of people really want to let it go right away because it's like, bothering me, I want it to, you know, be dissolved right now. And if things could happen at that rate, then we'd never really learn anything, like you said. They're here to teach us something. So sometimes they do stay around long because it's just what we need to keep learning. You know, and like you had two relationships that did the same thing, it's similar to a lot of people's reactions. They have had two boyfriends that treated them the same way or two, you know, or three of the same kind of reactions that they've had in their lives. It's something that we are not learning. That's why it keeps coming back.
Oh, yeah,
it teaches
definitely.
Them, you know?
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah.
I think another thing, too, that makes it hard for women to let go of past relationships is that I think we tend to look at the potential instead of the reality of things.
Yeah.
And then we hold on to that potential. You know, it could have been like this. And remember that one month that was so perfect. And I know we can do that if we could just get back together and all this stuff. But it's all potential. Yeah. It's not necessarily the reality. And I think if we all start, not just women, but all of us start looking more at people who come and go from our lives as other journeyers that we've agreed to come together for certain purposes and then let them go when the purpose is complete, then I think we'll all be at much greater peace instead of trying to hold on to things because of the possibility of what might happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
You said it, Mick. That one is so true. I hear that all the time with the, you know, with old past relationships that they're holding on to. It's the what ifs, it's the should haves, it's the if I only, and if we only. It's always living in this potential instead of what, like you said, the reality. The reality is he's a drug addict. The reality is he's an alcoholic. The reality is he didn't show up when you needed him. So if we start really looking at the reality of how it really is manifested and affecting our lives, we can make the decisions become easier than living in the possibilities, like Davis was saying. I mean, I'm a real hopeful person. I totally believe that people can change, but I am very realistic too, you know. And I think that as women go, we have to get to be more realistic and really ask the questions, did they serve our higher good? Were they respectful? Did they treasure us? Did I feel better when they were around? All these big questions. Were they reliable? Could I see myself, you know, growing old with this person? Did this person care, you know, about me as much as I cared for them? I mean, these are big questions that if you can really sit down and answer them and be honest and truthful. It's funny, before I pulled cards before the show, and one of the cards was truth. And truth is a very important part of the process of letting go.
Mm-hmm.
And like David said, if, you know, living in that potential does not allow us to let it go.
Yeah.
I love that, David. You said it. That's it right there. If we can, like, step away from what we wished it was going to be and step into the actual real reality of it, we can then let it go from that truth. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, if I think, you know, if a person showed up and they had interest in something like that, I, you know, I might take a look at that. But I've got so much other stuff going on in my life. I mean, I really just don't even, you know, I'm not even worried. I'm not saying that there aren't moments that I might think back. But, you know, I am, you know, I've got so much other stuff going on. You know, I can't. Can't slow myself down, and I'm trying to have fun. So, you know, I'm just all about and I'm trying to let my friends have fun. So on Facebook, I do fun things because I never, you know, my friends are all over the country, and so I put things on there, and you know, I mean, it's just all about having fun.
Well, it sounds like your life can open up to that level right now because it feels
I'm
like you've completed. Yeah, you've kind of completed with your son graduating. I mean, there's some big changes that have happened that kind of free you up a little bit, you know, from being the responsible parent and all that to having some fun. Yeah, it feels like it's a good thing. Yeah, I know a lot of times with women with children, I do see that they. Their focus, and there should be this focus, is to raise their children. And so relationship kind of sits on the back burner. And they have relationships, but they're pretty secondary to what's the most important thing, and that's their child. And then when the child grows up, it really is a time for them to kind of get back in the groove of feeling what it would be like to have a relationship that could really be in their world, you know, in their real life, because of, you know, bringing a gentleman into your home with your son, or it might not have felt good, or you know what I mean? It might not have been what you wanted to
do. Well, yeah, because boys love their mom, you know, and I think they always have a problem with the man thing. You know, my son, even today, he doesn't want me to have kids. I mean, I can't have kids, but, you know, he's still, like, kind of petrified about me having another child, you know?
Really?
Yeah, and I'm just like, wow, what, you know.
Yeah, because they have stepped into the being the man in your life.
Right.
They really have, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't think that on an energetic level they're willing to give that over to someone else. So it seems like that is kind of going to be moving, that energy will be different now that he's growing up and moving on and getting his own life and doing his own thing. So that could be why you're going to be faced with more time, more space, more possibilities that will help you create, you know, a life that's joyous for you and what you would want, besides being the mother, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, so blessings to you, Kathy. I'm so happy that you called. And give us a call back. Davis will be back again. She's going to be coming. We're going to try to have weekly conversations about things that we feel are kind of an important things that are happening in the planet right now. That's kind of our focus. And thanks for participating. I know that there are many people that listen to the show and just love to listen because we see that, you know, we have thousands of people listening and then later. But we'd love your opinions or your input. So if you have something that's happening to you or that you'd like some input on, please feel free to call. We're here to listen. We have just a short time more to go. So,
well, thank
anyway,
you so much.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
Yeah.
Okay. Bye bye. All right. Well, Davis, the time has come. I think that we're gonna call it a show. We've been on for about an hour and 20 minutes, and that's a good amount of time. So thank you, Davis, for coming. And if anyone would like to get in touch with Davis, you can reach her at her. Would you like to give him the information, or should I?
Sure. The phone number would be the best way for now, and that is area code 775-720-6922. And when you call, if you just mention the show, Heart and Soul Holistic, with Patty Rio Sherwin, then we will know where we're starting from, okay?
Yeah. And if you wanted to email me, and I will email her any questions that you may have. I know Annette had some great dreams. So if Annette, you're having any more dreams that you'd like to share with Davis or work on, or even just have her give some insight into it, I'm sure she'd be open to that. So blessings, everyone. Have a great day. Remember to shine. Remember to believe in the magic of just being who you are. Blessings, everyone. Bye, Davis. Love you.
Love you too, Patty.